19 minutes to 5 GMT. If you were expecting to be listening to Network Africa and you're a bit surprised to hear us, that's because this is The World Today and the BBC is bringing networks together to cover the breaking news within the last hour and a half. The announcement by President Obama that Osama bin Laden, the most wanted man probably on the planet over the past 10 years, has been killed by US Special Forces in Pakistan. With us here in the studio is still our diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus. Jonathan, one thing that's come up, interestingly, there was a statement in the last 20 minutes from the White House talking about the body of Osama bin Laden. He said it's being handled in accordance with Islamic practice and tradition. But I suppose there is a bit of a dilemma. What do you do with the body? Because the potential, I suppose, for wherever his final resting place becoming some kind of pilgrimage site or possibly for other purposes, even subject to terrorism itself, that must be a difficult one for the State Department and the White House to think about and handle.
I'm sure it is. I'm not sure. Perhaps it's the decision that's uppermost in their minds. I mean, I think the most important issue for them is to prove beyond any doubt that this really is Osama bin Laden. To that end, I'm sure there will be DNA testing and so on and so forth to be absolutely clear in their minds. I mean, remember, there will be people around the world who'll say that this is a conspiracy theory and that this hasn't actually happened. So I think the most important thing for the Americans is to absolutely identify 110% that they have got their man. Equally, though, and there is another side to this whole story, and I think you're right to point it out, and that is that to handle his body with respect to Muslim traditions and so on is crucial, because as we've been hearing throughout this evening from President Obama himself and from others, the Americans are stressing as ever that this is not a war against Islam, that it's been thousands of Muslims from Indonesia to the Middle East and around the globe who have been the principal victims of Al-Qaeda inspired bomb attacks and shootings and so on. And I think it's interesting because President Barack Obama, I think America's credentials, as it were, for not waging a war against Islam have become much stronger right from the very outset of his presidency, with his speeches in Cairo, in Istanbul and so on. He's gone out of his way to make this point. And of course, the paradox and the fascinating thing, as we were hearing earlier, is that whilst he's been doing that, there's been a good deal of outreach to the Muslim world on the one hand. Actually, this president, who was sceptical about the war in Afghanistan, has been stepping up the war, at least in Pakistan. The number of drone strikes under President Obama's watch has gone up dramatically compared to the previous U.S. administration. And, of course, that is one of the factors that has pushed the al-Qaeda leadership very much onto the back foot.
Well, I was mentioning that to Frank Gaffney earlier, because it's interesting this has happened on President Obama's watch rather than President Bush's watch. And President Bush, of course, began and in some ways characterized the whole campaign against terrorism, the war on terror, as he called it. It is a bit of a surprise that it's happened now, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it is a surprise in one sense, but I think, you know, there are people who argue that in many ways, many of the responses of the previous administration took America into huge blind alleys, if you like, in terms of the struggle against al-Qaeda. I mean, the war in Iraq, which its protagonists argued had something vaguely to do with al-Qaeda. There are very few people who really believe that anymore. Even the war in Afghanistan, where essentially the Taliban, the regime that protected al-Qaeda, were dismantled very quickly. Al-Qaeda was pushed over the border into Pakistan, and yet the Americans are still there trying to pacify and organize nation building inside one of the most difficult places to build a nation, perhaps, in the world. So in a sense, America has been dragged into these cul-de-sacs. This, I think, will be a huge tonic to the Americans, that in the central struggle, if you like, against al-Qaeda, they clearly have had a very important victory.
Jonathan, thank you very much. Jonathan Marcus. Well, joining us now is Robert Bobert, a former CIA field officer who was very much involved in the interest in what happened on September the 11th, the aftermath, who was responsible for it. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Bear. Well, let me put that same point to you. Were you surprised that it happened now, as opposed to under the man who exemplified the hunt for Osama bin Laden, which was, of course, President Bush?
I'll tell you what surprises me is that he was killed so deep into Pakistan. I know this conspiracy theory was out there that the Pakistanis were hiding him, but now I'm wondering if there wasn't some truth to it. I mean, you look at the map and he was almost on the Indian border, and not in the tribal areas, which the Pakistani military cannot really get into, deep into. You know, the United States has never given up looking for this guy. It's never spared any resources. It didn't know much about that area, and still doesn't know much about it. So I think it was a matter of good intelligence and combined with luck and determination.
Do you think perhaps, given, as you said, about the location, was it that the Pakistanis always knew he was there, and all that's changed really was they decided to tell the Americans?
Look, I suspect that. It was Pakistanis who ultimately led the raid against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind behind 9/11, five or six other people, Abu Zubaydah and Faisal Abad. I could go right down the list. The Pakistanis were deeply involved in all those captures and a bunch of other terrorist operations. They're sort of key to this. And the question is, why now? And we're going to have to wait for that answer. But what I can tell you is those helicopters did not go into Pakistan on their own. That was fully coordinated with the Pakistani military, and I wouldn't be surprised that if they had surrounded that compound in advance. You just can't fly that distance without approval.
And, I mean, you know very well that the amount of effort that the Americans put in over the years to get Osama bin Laden, it was a key thing. Why did they not get him earlier? What were the mistakes that were made? What were the reasons that it didn't happen 5-6 years ago?
I was actually working on the Afghan border through the 90s, and I can honestly tell you that our ignorance about Afghanistan was complete. We didn't know anything about the country. We didn't know anything about the tribes. We didn't know nothing about the ethnic groups. We had just simply given up after the Soviet Union withdrew from Afghanistan, and it was a blank on the map for us. And we went through a long learning period over the last 10 years, and it apparently paid off.
But did it, in a sense, matter? Was it one of these issues where it's almost more PR than anything else, more publicity? We've got him. But was he actually, in the end, important? Was he still leading the organization?
Oh, I don't think he was important. I mean, he was sending no messages out, not since 2007. If he was, in fact, deep in Pakistan all this time, his last 4 years, he wasn't controlling anything. I would very much doubt that. Al-Qaeda has fractured into smaller movements, and with the Arab Spring that's come along, it's completely, I think, been swept away as a movement. It's irrelevant, and what's relevant is what's happening in the major capitals in the Arab world.
So it's really more a matter of what David Cameron, our British Prime Minister, calls relief, and other people have called justice, than actual effectiveness.
We shouldn't go around saying justice. I mean, this that's not going to help. I think the way we should look at it for Americans right now is, I would say, this is pretty well going to get Obama reelected as president. I mean, Democrats always have a problem with national security. They finally got the guy that the Republicans couldn't get. This guy sending troops into Pakistan. It was a bold move. It could have gone wrong at any minute. And this White House should be congratulated on this president.
Bob Baer, thanks very much for joining us. Bob Baer, their former CIA field officer. And once again, a reminder, if you were expecting Network Africa at this time, we are now The World Today, because the breaking news within the past 2 hours that Osama bin Laden is dead, killed by US special forces in Pakistan.
Well, for a man who's rarely out of the news following the September 11th attacks, many details about Osama bin Laden actually remain very sketchy. His whereabouts had previously been a complete mystery, effectively, since the Taliban fell in November 2000. Well, Grant Ferret has this assessment of the founder of Al-Qaeda.
The day that hijacked aircraft slammed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon propelled Osama bin Laden from a relatively little-known figure to one of the world's most instantly recognizable. But as he sought to avoid being captured or killed by the United States, he remained an enigmatic figure. His communications with the wider world were confined to recorded messages broadcast mainly through the Arabic satellite television station Al Jazeera.
What the United States is tasting today is a very small thing compared to what we have been tasting for tens of years. Our nation has been tasting this humiliation and contempt for more than 80 years. Its sons are being killed. Its blood is being shed. Its holy places are being attacked. And it's not being ruled according to God's decree.
Osama bin Laden was born into money. His father built up a large and highly profitable construction company in Saudi Arabia. One of about 18 sons, Osama bin Laden worked for a while in the family business. In his early 20s, his life was transformed when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan.
When he went to Afghanistan in the early 1980s, this was a young man, very young man, who wanted to make a reputation for himself in the midst of a holy war.
Christopher Dickey of Newsweek. Osama bin Laden spent nearly a decade in Afghanistan, establishing links with radical Islamists from around the world. When the demoralized Soviet forces withdrew in 1989, Osama bin Laden went home to Saudi Arabia. The following year, he offered military support to King Fahd when Iraqi forces invaded neighboring Kuwait. To his horror, the king rejected his offer and instead turned to the United States. Stripped of his Saudi citizenship, Osama bin Laden returned to Afghanistan, by now ruled by the Taliban, which shared his interpretation of Islam. In 1998, he urged Muslims to kill Americans, including civilians, wherever they could find them. Numerous attacks followed, including those on the U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania and the warship the USS Cole off Yemen. Then came September the 11th, 2001. Holy shit! Osama bin Laden praised those involved. President Bush said he would be hunted down, dead or alive.
I don't know whether we're going to get him tomorrow, or a month from now, or a year from now. I really don't know. But we're going to get him.
While many Muslims condemned the loss of life in New York and Washington, Osama bin Laden was widely seen as a heroic figure, standing up for the Palestinians and opposing American domination.
That special report from Grant Ferret. Well, the most wanted man on the planet was believed to have disappeared into the mountains on the Pakistani and Afghan border. But in the end, it was a mansion 115 kilometres outside the Pakistani capital, Islamabad, that saw his demise at the hands of US forces.
Last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain. And it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
President Obama speaking a couple of hours ago at the White House, bringing us the news that Osama bin Laden has been killed. Meanwhile, outside the White House, hundreds of thousands even of people are continuing to gather, waving American flags, chanting and cheering. The jubilation is absolutely evident, certainly amongst those Americans. We can also see the same is happening at Ground Zero in New York. Hundreds of people gathering to welcome this news that the head of Al-Qaeda has been killed. In the last couple of minutes, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has just said that the killing of Osama bin Laden is a resounding triumph for democratic nations fighting terrorism. Our correspondent Jonathan Marcus is still here. Jonathan, plenty of warm words for this death. In terms of what it means now for al-Qaeda. Let's just talk a little bit about that in terms of what it means for their central ideology.
Well, I think the struggle against all of the various affiliates of al-Qaeda, the groups that in one way or another draw their inspiration from Osama bin Laden's leadership, will continue. I mean, that's self-evident. But I think the central core of the organization has been dealt a very, very serious blow. And if you think about it, in many ways, that blow has been, it's been pretty negative for al-Qaeda ever since 9/11. We understand there were divisions within al-Qaeda at the time as to whether carrying out these attacks in the United States would bring terrible retribution down on their heads. There were people who were uncertain about it. Remember that the key aim of al-Qaeda in the first instance was to get changes in the regimes and the governments in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in key Middle Eastern countries. The idea was attacking the far enemy, the United States, would enable them to undermine U.S. support for the near enemy, the conservative pro-Western Arab regimes closer to home. Now, in the end, 9/11 happened, and by al-Qaeda standards, it was a resounding success. But look what happened then. Al-Qaeda was expelled from Afghanistan. The Taliban, the regime that had given it support and hosted it, was dismantled and destroyed. They were forced across the border into Pakistan, harried. We talked about the drone strikes that have been stepped up under President Obama's presidency. And of course, what's fascinating is that back in the Middle East, in the main focus of Osama bin Laden's political message, what we're actually seeing now is changes to regimes, at least the possibility that these regimes will be heading not in the direction of the ideology that Osama bin Laden and his supporters espouse, or indeed the many Islamists in the region itself, but towards perhaps a very different future, the promise potentially of democratic change and so on. And so I think in many ways the world has not turned out the way al-Qaeda would have hoped. And I think, you know, it's clear that in the West we focus all the time on defending against terrorist attacks, against the skirmishes, the battles in this struggle against al-Qaeda's ideology. But in a strange sort of way, you know, al-Qaeda has the capability of winning the battles, if you like, the individual skirmishes, but is certainly not able to win the war.
Jonathan Marcus, thank you very much. And Jonathan will, of course, be providing us insight and analysis here on the BBC World Service throughout this morning as we continue to bring this breaking news that Osama bin Laden has been killed. You're with The World Today and special coverage joining you here from Network Africa.
Minnesota Public Radio News, 91.1 KNOW, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Read breaking news and listen online at mprnews.org.
Hello, it's 5 o'clock GMT. Welcome to this special coverage on the BBC World Service with Roger Hearing and Pascal Harter.
Today, it's official. Osama bin Laden is dead.
A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability. No Americans were harmed. They took care to avoid civilian casualties. After a firefight, they killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body.
President Obama made the dramatic late-night announcement.
As the news unfolded, joyous crowds have been gathering outside the White House.
USA! 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 USA!
We will have more on the where, the how, and reaction from around the globe.
All that coming up here on The World Today from the BBC World Service, coming to you live from London. First, let's get the world news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jamie McIntyre. Around the United States at this hour, spontaneous demonstrations of jubilation at the news that Osama bin Laden, mastermind of the September 11th attacks, has died in a firefight with U.S. troops. NPR's Audie Cornish is outside the White House in Washington, where a large crowd has gathered.
Maybe 1,000 people here, maybe a little more than that. There are a lot of people who have American flags waving, wrapped around their bodies, and there's a lot of chants of USA, a lot of singing. We've heard the national anthem. We've heard God Bless America. At one point, I actually saw a conga line. There's a beach ball being bounced around the crowd. it is a full-on celebration. And one person who I spoke to here described it as a block party when he got here.
Inside the White House, the scene was equally as extraordinary. President Barack Obama strode down the red carpet in the East Room and told the nation and the world bin Laden was dead. NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
The president walked to the podium in the East Room in an unprecedented late Sunday night appearance to deliver the dramatic news.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who's responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men, women, and children.
Mr. Obama told the nation that bin Laden was killed by U.S. assets, not in a cave in the tribal areas of Afghanistan, where he was long assumed to be hiding, but in a mansion outside of Islamabad, hiding in plain sight, in other words, near the capital city of Pakistan, a country whose relationship with the U.S. in the fight against terrorism has been troubled at best. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.
NPR's Julie McCarthy is in Islamabad, not far from where the raid took place. Julie, what has been the reaction from Pakistani officials?
It's a confused reaction at this point. There are contradictory reports here this early morning about whether the extent to which Pakistan was involved in this, the extent to which Pakistan knew about this. There are reports that they were in collaboration. Others say no, this was simply a CIA operation. If that is the case, the United States will be bracing for a reaction here in Pakistan. There is already a deep-seated resentment for what many Pakistanis believe is a violation of their sovereignty that springs from the case of the CIA employee Raymond Davis, who was put on trial here for killing two Pakistani men and was released, and for the accelerated drone attacks. So if it was indeed an exclusive CIA operation, there will be a blowback here from Pakistan that would be expected by the Americans. In fact, there are alerts going out that security has been heightened to a very high level in Pakistan.
NPR's Julie McCarthy. The president took some credit for the successful end to the 9.5-year manhunt for bin Laden, saying when he took office, he moved getting bin Laden to the top of his to-do list.
And so shortly after taking office, I directed Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, to make the killing or capture of bin Laden the top priority of our war against Al-Qaeda, even as we continued our broader efforts to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat his network. Then, last August, after years of painstaking work by our intelligence community, I was briefed on a possible lead to bin Laden. It was far from certain, and it took many months to run this thread to ground. I met repeatedly with my national security team as we developed more information about the possibility that we had located bin Laden hiding within a compound deep inside Pakistan. And finally, last week, I determined that we had enough intelligence to take action and authorized an operation to get Osama bin Laden and bring him to justice. Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan.
President Obama Sunday night at the White House in Washington announcing that Osama bin Laden was killed in a firefight with U.S. Special Operations Forces today in Pakistan. Jamie McIntyre, NPR News, Washington.